What's up? How's everybody doing? I hope you're doing good. I'm doing good. I'm fired up because I got a big announcement to make. How many of y'all, I'm trying to get my notes in line. Like, y'all going to be hearing like, well, he's all jacked up because my notes jacked up. Hey, listen, how many of you just absolutely love change? Okay, four of you. Listen, do you know, really, this is the honest truth in personality, like they do personality tests. That there's like 11% of the people in personality tests really like change. It's like almost 90-something percent or 89% hate change, all right? But here's the deal. How many of you like good change? Throw your hands up. Come on, yeah, okay. Thank you for being positive, even if you're lying. Thank you. Listen, lying in church. Hey, we're close to building our building one day. I know a lot of you are probably thinking like, Andy's big news, we breaking ground. No, I'm sorry. I love you. Listen, we've been praying forever for Keith to tithe, and he hadn't tithed yet. And so when he starts tithing, we can build, all right? And so that was stupid. Listen, I shouldn't say that. I just offended somebody. We've got to make room, all right? We've got to make room here. We've got to get out of five services. And so if we were to break ground today, I mean like bulldozers on the land today, it would be a year. But we're not breaking ground today. But here's the deal. We're getting closer and closer every day. But if we were to do it today, it'd be a year. And so we can't keep doing five services. We're already maxed out. We've got to make room for other people because our motto, our passion is that church is not about the people who are here right now. It's about the people who aren't here. Yes, it's about the people who are here in the area of taking care of each other and loving each other and spurring each other on and encouraging each other, pursuing Jesus together, praying together. But we're all here for the people that's not here yet. And we ain't, look around. We ain't got very much space in this room to sit people, all right? And so here's what we gonna do, all right? Here's what we doing. Monday through Saturday, we staying right here, all right? Some of y'all are like, woo, fires me up because we got a college. We just started a college. How about that? Can somebody give it up for a college that we just started? It was awesome watching them get their books and going through the line the other day. It was so much fun. We've got The Right that's still going to be here. We've got Wednesday Nights that's still going to be here. We have got... We've got small groups that's going to be here. We've got conferences that's going to be here. And so everything is going to be here. On Sundays, we are going to the Civic Center, okay? And so, can I hear somebody say, where's the Civic Center? No, give me a hand. Just make me feel better. Somebody clap, all right? Somebody clapping now. All right, I'm going to tell you more, all right? Listen. The Civic Center holds about 1,000 people. Some of you think, like, I went to the last Civic Center. Last time I saw it, it was just... I just don't know about it. Well, I want to tell you something. I thought the same thing. I went and looked at the Civic Center. They have completely remodeled the whole entire thing. It is sweet. I think they can put some pictures up behind me of just a few things. All right? Listen, we're having tables now. You can sit at a table and drink. I'm just kidding. We're not having tables. That's stupid. All right? So we're going to be at the Civic Center doing charity. It holds 1,000 people. You got more entrances. Here's part of the change. All right? Sundays, we're changing here, going to 2 services. Thank you, Jesus. All right? If it's for anybody, it's for Pastor Andy. Pastor Andy, you being selfish. Yes, I am being selfish. I'm just kidding. I want to make sure that our people have energy. Our DC Connect team has energy and momentum. And when they're, listen, our whole motto is to serve one, attend one. Serve one, attend one. Some of you on the DC Connect team are serving one. Or you're attending one, serving four, all right? And so we want to do everything we can to help out our DC Connect team, help out the staff, but more than that, help out making room, all right? Making room for more people. And so here's the other things that are going to change. Times are going to change. 9:15 and 11 o'clock. Guess what that does? That spreads it out. So all you folks that come at 10:15 aren't going to be running into people that are leaving at 9. It's like salmon swimming upstream going out the door right there, all right? And so you're not going to be dropping off kids and picking up kids all at the same time. We'll have one group come in, sit, enjoy the service, pick their kids up, and leave because we're going to have a lot better, bigger span of time in between, okay? And so... I'm really pumped up about it. I think it's going to be great for our church. The building is beautiful, more parking. We've got bigger nursery rooms, bigger places to sit. We have got more entrances and exits. I'm just telling you, across the board, it's going to be good. Somebody smile, please. Somebody please smile. Thank you. I've been in church long enough, like, bless God, we've never done it that way before. We're 6 years old. Give us a break. Like, I told y'all. Y'all come to this church, y'all never be able to use the excuse, we've never done it that way before, because we always going to change something. As a matter of fact, y'all going to be messed up when we ain't changed something. Like, what's going on at the church? I ain't changed anything in a while. Well, we change teaching just Sundays, okay? So Sunday's going from 5 services to 2 services, 9:15 and 11 o'clock. Go ahead and get it on your calendar. September the 11th. September the 11th is the day we move. We'll be here next week. All right, September the 11th is the day we're moving. So go ahead and put it on your calendar, September the 11th, 9:15 and 11 o'clock. I hope I just gave y'all everything that y'all need. There's a lot more positive stuff, but I ain't got time to go into it because we got to talk about prayer. All right, can we talk about, some of y'all are like, man, Andy, you need prayer right now. Yes, I do. I'm sweating like a mule. Look, I got my business casual Friday outfit on right here. This is what you wear on Fridays, business casual, all right? And so I wanted to just make everybody feel warm and say, I feel like it's Friday. Listen, here's what we got. This is our second week in House of Cards. Hey, can we give it up for 9:15, 11 o'clock, Civic Center, moving and stuff? All right, that's about half the people, so if we got half, we're good. Listen, the Bible says, it is written, he said to them, talking about Jesus, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. And so the reason why we're calling this series a House of Cards is because we're talking about that if your life, if your family, your own home, and our corporate church is not built on prayer, that it could collapse at any moment. You know, if you're building everything that you have on the American dream or on anything else outside of prayer, it's got the possibility of collapsing at any moment. And so we want to talk about the importance of prayer. Last week, we had David Jett and myself just kind of doing an interview. Absolutely loved it. It was lots of fun. It's been shared all over social media. And so here's the big picture. We talked last week, a lot of times we as a church do just enough prayer to make us feel good about our prayer life. When Jesus says, my house should be called a house of prayer, he could have said, my house should be called a house of scripture, a house of doctrine, a house of evangelism, a house of worship, a house of whatever. But he chose a house of prayer because prayer is vital in the house of God. Prayer is vital in your own personal house. Prayer is vital in your own house, your individual body, God's house that he lives in. It's vital that you pray. And so what we're talking about the next couple of weeks is we're talking about prayer, okay? One thing that I have learned over the years is that we have really, really complicated Christianity. You know, the Bible talks about the simplicity of the gospel. But inside of Christianity that we've complicated, we've also complicated prayer. Now listen, my little boy, Caleb, last year at East Elementary, during a talent show, there was this kid that gets up and he does a Rubik's Cube. His talent is a Rubik's Cube and he does it like in 3 minutes. Actually, I think it exploded on him and he had to put it back together and then do it. But here's the deal. There was this craze at East Elementary with Rubik's Cubes. Now, I don't know if you understand. Now, 80s, like when we were in the 80s, a Rubik's Cube, hang on a second, let me see if I can find it. A Rubik's Cube looked a lot like this right here, all right? That was the Rubik's Cube back in the 80s. How many of y'all just are cool and courageous enough to say, I'm from the 80s? Throw your hands up, all right? This was the Rubik's Cube in the 80s. And so this is incredibly complicated. I never, ever, ever figured it out. Not even close, all right? And neither has Caleb. And so the Rubik's Cube is incredibly complicated, but these days it's different because Caleb and all of East Elementary went crazy with Rubik's Cubes, and so Caleb won't take all of his birthday money and buy Rubik's Cubes, and so this is what our house looks like for a long time, all right? Listen, not only do you have the 3x3, but you have the 4x4. You also not only have 3x3 and 4x4, but you have the 5x5. And then you also have the 6x6. And then you also have the 7x7. You also have, wait for it, the 10x10, baby. The big one. Look, you got the little 4x4. I can't even put one side of the 4x4 together. They've also got the 2x2. I think I'm missing one. Oh, no, look. This right here is an asteroid that landed in our front yard right there. I don't know what that is. All right, that's like the old school 80s asteroids. Beep, 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 beep. Y'all don't remember that? Okay, anyway, that was stupid. All right, listen. I don't know what that is. All right, we got the pyramid that you can't put that together either. That's the Star of David. I don't know what that is. I hope it's the Star of David. And then I don't know what this is. But here's the deal. I asked Caleb, I'm like, Caleb, can you put it? So here's what he told me. He said, Dad, if you go this way and this way and this way, this way and this way, this way and this way, in 2 minutes, you'll have it done. I said, all right, I got my clock. Go. And he goes, It looked the same as it did 2 minutes ago. 5 days later, he's still... It's like, Caleb, but guess what? Whoever told you that is lying. They pulling your leg and they laughing right now. Listen, Caleb spends lots of money, birthday money, on this 10 by 10, all right? Listen, it was perfectly put together when we got it in the mail. All the sides were connected. And so I said, all right, Caleb, when you gonna mess it up? I ain't messing it up. He's like, Joker, you spent a lot of money. Mess that thing up. Hey, I ain't messing it up. So you know what happened when he left? I messed it up. What are you doing? Play with the asteroid, boy. Listen. It's amazing how a lot of times we've made prayer look like a Rubik's Cube. I mean, it's unbelievable how complicated it is. We might be able to get one side. We got one side now. That's about, in the 80s, about all I could do, and it took me about 4 hours to do that. But it's amazing how, like, okay, I got this one area of prayer down, but I ain't got the other six areas right. Because it's amazing how we kind of manufactured and complicated prayer when all it is a conversation with the Father. We've made it incredibly difficult. For many of you, it looks like the 10 by 10, and it's so hard you don't even do it anymore. You quit. Listen, there's a whole lot we could talk about in the area of complicating prayer, and I think the reason why we've complicated it is because we've placed so many different myths with prayer, things that are not true, that honestly, I'm going to share some of these with you, and there will be people in this room mad because you're going to completely disagree. See, y'all like it when they're like, well, preacher, you're going to make me mad today. Come on, bring it on. Preacher, you already made me mad about moving to the Civic Center. I love you. You buns ought to work on the DC Connect team. Listen, get on it and see where we going. Listen, anyway, 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul, who is incredibly simple, by the way. He is incredibly simple. He talked about the simplicity of the gospel. Paul, who is a very complex, very educated man, like high up in the rankings of the Pharisaical sect before Jesus called him on the road to Damascus. Incredibly educated man. Listen to how simple Paul is with Christianity. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Is that how you live your life? Your Christian life is to know Jesus Christ, a relationship with Jesus, and him crucified, which gives me freedom, which gives me life. It rescued me. He is my Savior, and because of that, I can have conversations with the Father. See, it's Jesus Christ who is the mediator between us and God. God loved us enough to have conversation with us bad enough that he sent the most prized possession of heaven, his baby boy, down to this earth, died on the cross, so that he could be the mediator between us and God. Why? So we can communicate with the Father. You ever thought of it that way? Not only do we have Jesus, who is an incredible gift, but God also sent us, as New Testament believers, the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to guide us, direct us, to speak to us, to motivate us, to move us. Listen, it is important that we understand that it is Jesus Christ and him crucified, but it's amazing how we've complicated Christianity, but we've also complicated prayer. Let me just expose some things that we think is truth today that is not here in the scriptures, all right? Go ahead and get your nice self on, all right? Get it ready to go, because some of you are going to disagree with me, all right? It's amazing how many people I've talked to who said that God will not hear your prayer if you don't close your eyes and bow your head. Y'all think I'm kidding. It's amazing how many people believe that if I don't close my eyes and bow my head, that God will not hear my prayer. I've heard it more than once, several times. Do you know that's nowhere here? Now, it talks about people bowing down to their face in humility. But did you know? Listen to this. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, you know what the Bible said? That he took the bread and he looked up to heaven. He looked up. Listen, let me tell you, you want to jack some people up today at lunch, go to Cracker Barrel, sit around with your family, grab their hands, and everybody look up at once and say, God, thank you for this bread. Listen, you will freak them out. Like, what's wrong with them people? We bow our head and pray in the South, baby. Listen, you'll mess them up. Crazy. Listen, it's not there. Somebody said, well, why don't you make us bow our head and pray at the end of the service? Some of y'all are going to be like, I ain't doing it now. Since you told me, I ain't bowing my head and praying during the invitation. It ain't happening. I'm going to stare you down. We'll bring it on, big guy. I'll stare you back. It would be awkward for both of us. We do it mainly for privacy. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't close my eyes ever when I pray. If y'all watch me, I'm telling you, I don't close my eyes. I don't trust y'all. All right? Somebody will give me the right hand of fellowship. Like, we moving? Boom. Take that. Boo. Listen. I don't know why. I mean, I'm telling you, it helps me pray. ADD helps me focus when I see all the distractions around me. It's unbelievable. So, listen, that's a myth. I have to pray a right way, a certain way for God to hear me. Well, no, that's not there. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to give you an outline that kind of Jesus gave us if you want to learn how to pray, because I think we need some plans maybe to help you. But I don't think Jesus says, okay, if you don't pray this way, I'm telling you what, I ain't listening to you. I ain't hearing it. How about this? This is where it's going to get ugly, all right? For God to really hear you to pray, you got to take your hat off. And then God will hear you pray. Well, it's not here. Now listen, I love Southern etiquette, all right? My mama, every time I'd sit down to eat her soul food from Louisiana, she'd say, boy, take your hat off at the table. Yes, ma'am. Sit down, see? You say, yes, ma'am, that's Southern etiquette. I teach my boys that too. All right, so Southern etiquette is great, all right? Southern etiquette is good, but it's not scriptural. And so if you start thinking that if God's not going to hear my prayer when I take my hat off, if I don't take my hat off, it's just not true. It's not true. I heard of the miner. I don't know if y'all remember a bunch of miners back in the day who had the mine fall in on them and they were collapsed. And they were talking about how all of them were praying, but all of them kept their mining hats on. And God got them out. Woo! Like, he just went through that hat and just, that worked, but the other ones don't. I know what some of you think when you saw the etiquette, like, bless God, if it's good enough for Bear Bryant in the Superdome, then it's good enough for me, bless God. I tell you what, Bear Bryant took his hat off every time he went at Hounds Tooth. He took it off when he went to Superdome. I'm telling you, he believes in it. He walks with God. It's the Trinity and Bear. Listen. I'm glad I'll make y'all laugh because somebody's really mad in here right now. Bull, I'm finding it, bless God. You're getting an email from me this week, Pastor. Well, keep looking, all right? I don't know what Bible you're getting it out of, but it's not mine, all right? But it's good. My grandpa always made me put my shirt on to come sit down at the table. Hey, boy, what are you doing? I'm fixing to eat, Grandpa. Not without a shirt on, you ain't. Get up and get you a shirt on. Yes, sir. He looked like Saddam Hussein. He scared me to death. Listen. Take me to the shooting line, the firing line. Listen. That's not funny. Listen. There's a lot of different things. A lot of people think that the only way God hears you or the way that God hears you more and better is you got to get up really, really, really early in the morning. Which I had nothing wrong with. I think it's probably, honestly, good to get up early in the morning because it's really quiet and it seems like you can hear better. But I've tried getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning because I felt like I was going to be more spiritual if I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray, like God was going to hear my prayers more. And by 4:15, I am out. Out. Sometimes by 4:02, I'm done. Like, God, I'm just going to lay right here on my pillow. I got a my pillow, by the way. Like, that's what old people, it's Fox News. I got it from there. It's great. You need to get one. Anyway, listen. Don't try to pray from your bed. It don't work, all right? But God's not going to bless you more because you pray at 4 o'clock in the morning as he does somebody that prays on their way to work in the back, driving to work. It's conversations. Now, listen, I think that everybody should have some kind of plan, some way, form, or fashion. I had a guy ask me the other day, like, hey, well, how do you pray? What does it look like when you pray? I said, I'll be honest with you. It's different a lot of times, but I do have a plan. My plan is to get up early in the morning to get ready because I've got to wake up. And most of the time, I try to get here early at the church, and I'll spend some time reading, and then I'll come right down here, and I'll pace the floors and pray because it's usually just me and God and music, loud music. I like it loud. Just getting after it. But there's other times that I can't make it down here, and it's me driving down the road talking to God. Listen, there's a lot of people that think it's got to be a certain way, and you do need a plan. But the thing about it is to say that this person is more spiritual because they do it this way, and this person's not as spiritual because they do it this way. It's just not biblical. It's just not there. Jesus, the Bible talks about Jesus praying through the night, not getting up early in the morning, prayed through the night. We could go on and on with that. I think about the Ethiopian eunuch who was praying in his chariot riding down the road. And Philip comes and crawls up in the chariot with him and helps him understand the gospel. I mean, there's a jillion different ways that people prayed. Listen, I could go on and on and on. I've had people think that if I don't pray every single day, God's going to be mad at me. I used to think that way. I think it's incredibly smart that you spend time with God every day, some way, form, or fashion. But there have been days that I have missed. Confessions of a pastor. Like, you missed a day of prayer. Yes, I probably missed two. Listen, and it's amazing if that's your thought process, that if you miss a day, that you're the guilt that you feel keeps you from praying the next day because you missed a day. And then you miss 2 days, and then you really can't pray the third day because I've missed 2 days. The next thing you know, you ain't praying at all. Where in reality, God's not mad at you because the blood of Jesus Christ covers you. It gives you free access to God no matter what. The thing that you missed the most was just you missed conversations with God that day, which is vital. It's vital. It's important. Some of you, listen, I'm not giving you a free pass not to pray. What all I'm saying is get rid of the guilt and the shame that comes with it. Have conversations with God. There's so much more I could say. I'm gonna move away from this because I really want us to stop complicating prayer. If some of you are like, just give me a plan. What does that look like? I think that Jesus gives us a plan in the scripture when he talks about in Matthew chapter 6 verses 9 through 13. We do, it's the prayer that a lot of us pray before football games and baseball games. It's prayers that a lot of people pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. We always pray in the King James, by the way. We go through this prayer. And when Jesus says to pray this way in Matthew 6:9, he says, how should you pray? Pray this way. He's not saying that this is the exact thing you should say every time you pray. If you want to, go for it. But what he's doing is he's giving us an outline of what prayer can look like. And so if you're interested in the outline, let me just go through it kind of quickly for you and help you pray. Now, whenever I'm talking about this prayer, I'm the chaplain for the baseball team at times. Travis is there, I'm there. So they'll go out there to left field and pray, and we all put our arms around each other. We take our hats off because we don't want Granny mad at us. Put it on the field. Put our arms around. Me or Travis or one of us will pray with a baseball team, and then one of the baseball players, they lead in Our Father who art in heaven. So the whole entire team prays it. Now listen, they pray it like a rap. I mean, they like fast, like Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And I'm like, somebody needs to beatbox to this. This is absolutely, like, it would make it more interesting. But the thing about it is it's good to listen to them praying, but it's an outline. It's an outline of how God wants us to pray. So let's talk about the outline, all right? Our Father in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, our Father in heaven. When you begin to pray, you connect with God relationally. Connect with him relationally. Understand who you are. Understand your identity with the Father, that you are a child of his, that I am his child, he is my Father, and I can come before him with anything. Some of you, that's a myth with some of you also. Andy, I can't go before God with just anything. Yes, you can, anything. Our Father, he is my Father, and so I am his child, and I can always crawl up in his lap and have conversation. You know, Caleb and Avery, both of them, but Caleb definitely loves to talk. He's so much like his mama. It's unbelievable. I'm still praying for him. Listen, do you like it? You like it? I'm just kidding. Listen, she knows that's me. But he talks. I mean, he'll give you an earache. I mean, like, he like, like talking. Most of them don't make any sense. But I'm not looking at it like, shut up, Caleb. I don't want to hear it. I enjoy having conversation with my son in the same way as the Father enjoys having conversation with his children. It delights him. It brings pleasure to him. Just like it does with your children. You may not understand what they're saying most of the time, but it brings pleasure to you to talk to your babies most of the time. But with him, it's all the time. So when you begin to pray, you connect. Our Father in heaven, I understand who you are. I understand who I am. And I identify that I am your child. And because I am your child and we have a relationship, I can now come and connect with you because of the Son, Jesus, who is my mediator. And I connect with you. This is what Romans 8:15 says. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, which means in English, daddy. We call him daddy. We call him Abba, Father. Matthew 6:9 says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And so we connect with him and understand our identity, that we have a relationship. And so we connect with God relationally, but now we worship him. Hallowed be your name. So we come to you in worship. Hallowed be my name. Hallowed be Desperation Church's name. No. Hallowed be your name. In other words, holy is your name. Only your name deserves glory. And so I'm lifting your name up in worship because you are my Father. I'm your child. You have rescued me. You have set me apart. You have made me yours. You call me friend in Romans chapter 5, verse 10. And I am yours. And so because of that, all glory goes to you. You're my Father. God, without you, I'm nothing. So holy is your name. You are holy, God. It's a reverence. It goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. And so we pray, we connect with God relationally, we worship him, and then we pray his will. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We just got through doing a series on the kingdom of God. Honestly, a lot of people think that we are going to a kingdom, which we are in reality. But when we give our lives to Christ, the kingdom starts now because the kingdom comes to us. And God wants us to start living like heaven, like we're in heaven now on this earth. So how do we do that? We allow his will to work through us. His revealed will is right here, Genesis to Revelation. He tells us what he wants for our lives right here. That's why it's important that you read the word, so you know what he wants for your life. His revealed will's right here. So we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God, I want to live my life. I want the light of God to shine through me. I want heaven to flow through me for the purpose of your kingdom enlarging. God, use me to make heaven bigger. Another reason why we're planting, not planting, but moving to the Civic Center so we can have 1,000 seats and make more room for people that's not here yet. Because our passion is, yes, one another and love each other, but we also want to make heaven bigger. God, use me. Use me. God, let your will be done in and through me. The fruit of the Spirit, God, may I walk in it because that's your will for my life. And so we see that we connect with him relationally, we worship him, and then we pray God's will for our life. And then there could be something personal in your life that you're praying for God's will. That's another thing we've complicated is God's will. Ain't got time for that. But that's incredibly complicated to where people have to take sleeping pills and not worried about God's will. That should never happen. But you pray, God, whatever your desire is for me, I'm pursuing you. I love you. Whatever your desire is for me in this job, at this school, with this girl or this guy that I'm dating, whatever your will is, God, I want to do what you've called me to and follow his will. Give us this day our daily bread. Hey, who gave you this day? God. Hey, that biscuit you ate this morning from Jack's, who gave you that biscuit? The lady from Jack's? No. God gave you that biscuit. Jack's just delivered it. The ingredients came from God. Listen, all of this, give us this day our daily bread. God, I'm depending on you in this day, today, not tomorrow, not today, I'm depending on you. Because this is your day, God. I'm trusting you. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, Genesis chapter 3. God comes down and he creates, he forms Adam, and he takes his breath and he breathes into Adam. And Adam takes his first breath. And that same breath that he breathed into Adam is the same breath that you have. Did you know that all of us are on borrowed breath? You're on borrowed breath from God. And he's the one that makes the decision when it stops. And he's the one that makes the decision to take the next one. Because we're his. And so, if we're depending on God just to take our next breath, then why shouldn't we depend on him for everything else in our life? Depend on him. God, I'm dependent on you. I'm your child. I'm dependent on you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. Forgive us our debts. In other words, confess your sins. Confess them. There's a lot I could say about that. Confession and forgiveness. You've been forgiven of sins because of the cross, completely, eternally. But in this sanctified life, in this Christian life, we confess our sins. Basically, the word confess, if you were to look at it in the Greek, it actually means just to admit. Admit to God that I have failed you. I have wronged you. Confess. I admit, God, that I have sinned. I admit that I've gossiped too much, or I've got too much envy, or God, I lied to my boss, or God, I confess these things. I admit. See, because God already knows it. He just wants you to come into agreement with him. Hey, you know what I think is kind of cool about this area of the scriptures? By the way, this whole thing is a series. We could do a series off of this. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Hey, ain't it kind of funny he put those two things together? So first of all, we confess our sins and admit that we have sins, and then we forgive those who sin against us. You know that you really, this is truth, you cannot really forgive people who have hurt you, who have sinned against you, the way that God wants you to, until you recognize your own sin and confess it to God. All of it produces freedom. It all produces freedom. The reason why you may not have forgiven somebody who has hurt you in the past, who have sinned against you in the past, is because you really don't understand your own depravity. But when you really begin to tap in and understand, man, I've got issues, it's a lot easier to let somebody off the handle because you realize that we all have issues. That doesn't mean that we're going to be high-fiving, fist-bumping, and being best friends and pals for the rest of our life, but that means I'm letting them off the hook, and I'm going to walk in freedom. There's a whole message in that. Forgiveness. Confess my sins because, God, I have sinned against you. And the person who sinned against me, I forgive them also because, God, we're all screwed up. It's amazing how much God can do with somebody like that. It's hard. It's easy for Pastor Andy to talk about it. Difficult to do. He goes on to say, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we confess our sins, we depend on him for everything, and then we engage in warfare. Did you know you live in a cosmic world? There's a cosmic battle going on for you. Do you know you live in two realms? You live in a physical realm and you live in a spiritual realm, a realm that we cannot see. I do believe there's people that's got gifts that have seen into the spirit realm. I'm like, dear God, please don't give me that gift. I don't want that. That's freaky. But there's a world around us that we cannot see. Did you know that all of heaven and all of hell is at war for you? All of heaven and all of hell is engaged in this war over all mankind, over all individual humans. It's like a tug of war, fighting back and forth, wanting you to come to its side, trying to lead you into temptation. God's trying to rescue you from temptation, doing everything he can. And the devil's doing all he can. It's a tug of war. And God says to fight the good fight, you fight with me. The enemy, his weapons are the world's ways, your flesh, and himself and his demons. And he does everything he can to use those things against you. But the Holy Spirit and truth is more powerful. It trumps all those things. And when we buy into truth and we buy into what the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is saying to us, we can always win the battle. It's a good fight. It's a good fight. It's a war. Some of you, when you leave today, are going to be in a war. Tomorrow, you're going to be in a war. It's never ending. Welcome to the kingdom of heaven. It's a war. Listen, you got to take a stand against the enemy and fight the good fight. Every lie that the enemy has told you, you've got to replace it with the truth. You got to recognize the war. Satan, you cannot have my marriage. You can't have my kids. You can't have my finances. You can't have my joy. You can't have my church. You can't have my small group. In Jesus' name, you can't have it. And in reality, it's not really your kids. It's not your finances. It's not your joy. It's not your church. It's not your small groups. It's all his. It's his. When you buy into everything that I have is yours, God, I'm trusting you with it. Woo! It's amazing what God can do. And it ends, for yours is the kingdom of the power and the glory forever. It's kind of cool how it kind of bookends. It starts off with all glory goes to him, and it ends with all glory going to him. Our Father who art in heaven, all glory go to your name. Hallowed be your name. It starts off with glory goes to God, and it ends in giving everything that you have in glory to him. All glory goes to you, God. Everything that I am and have is yours. That's how Jesus prayed. And he says, hey, if you're looking for a plan, if you're looking for an outline, let me give you one. Y'all want to quote it together? Can you do it? I think we can. We'll do King James, all right? Because that's the way, the only way I know how to do it. Let's do it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not in temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Come on. It's an outline. God says, follow this, walk this way, pray this way. Let me help you. I'm going to teach you. Let me help you. Pray this way. Watch what he does. All right? Simple. Don't complicate it. If you think like, man, that's just too much, well, just have conversation with God. I'm just trying to give you a plan. All right? He's in love with you. He likes it when his kids crawl up in his lap and have conversation with him. He likes it so much that he sent his son to die on the cross so that he can have conversations with you. He sent the Holy Spirit so that you can learn his voice and have conversations with him. Conversations with God. Don't complicate it. Talk to him, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus.